Bring the money in. Bring the money in. We won't have no dough to spend until you bring that money in.
The Co-op Radio Membership Drive. Join us for special programming featuring the best that Co-op Radio has to offer. In-depth interviews, alternative music, local arts and culture. Click that donate button at coopradio.org. Support one of Canada's first and longest-running community radio stations. That's coopradio.org.
Money is the root of all evil.
Put a nickel in the pot, boy.
It's true, I've found.
Put a dime in the pot,
but
boy.
This money is for a real good cause. So
cents.
Everybody stick around.
Not on a quarter.
Bring the money in. Bring the money in. We won't have no dough to spend until you bring that money in.
This is Jeff Berner, and you're like me, and your life has been saved by an accordion. Listen to
accordion.
Noir.
Hi, this is Jenny Conley with the Decemberists.
Johnny from Congos.
I'm Maria Dunn.
This is Andre Michaud with the Lost Body Ramblers.
My name's Bruce, and we're here every Wednesday night from 10 to 11 p.m. playing accordion music from all over the world, which is a pretty weird thing to do.
My cool band のブルースです。お聞きになっているのはアコーディオンノワール。
This is Rachelle Garnier.
Katie Kaboom with Mahone.
I am Jason Webley.
I'm Annalia Sorty. I'm the accordion player for Wood Pigeon.
This is David P. Smith.
We're the Dardanelles.
Every Wednesday night from 10 o'clock until 11 o'clock p.m.
Accordion Noir.
Accordion
Noir.
Hey, this is Weird Al Yankovic, and you're listening to Accordion Noir on CFRO Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM, Vancouver.
Psychosis may be in this year, but I'm really
like, wow, man, can you relate?
I'll be mellow when I'm dead, I'll be mellow when I'm dead, I'll be mellow when I'm dead. I'll be mellow when I'm dead.
And I hope you are not mellow or dead, and thank you for joining us here on Accordion Noir, CFRO, Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM in Vancouver. We're doing our first ever Weird Al Yankovic special, partially in honor of the Co-op Radio Fund Drive, where we're urging folks to go to the cooperadio.org website and click on what used to be the little purple button, and it's not purple anymore, because we've got a swanky new website there, and there's lots of cool activities we're working on for fundraising, so I hope people can help to donate there. So, cooperadio.org, and this week, we're going to be talking about Weird Al. We have some interviews with folks, including Weird Al, and authors of books about Weird Al. There's a bunch of literature that's happening lately as he's sort of suddenly reaching the cultural point where you're still alive, but people are already writing books about you. So we're going to be doing some of that, talking to Lily Hirsch, who has written a book called Weird Al Seriously. But we don't want to get too serious, so we're going to play a bunch of music as well. And that's what we're up to. Thanks for joining us here on Accordion Noir. The Love Shack is a little old place where we can get together. Love Shack, baby.
Love Shack, baby, Love Shack. Hey!
Pump up the jam.
Hey!
Pump up the jam.
Hey!
Pump up the jam. Pump it up. That's me in the corner. Trying to keep a view, and I don't know if I can do it.
Oh no!
I said too much, I haven't said enough. The things you say, your purple pro just gives you away. The things you say, you're unbelievable.
Morning, you can do me in the night, you can do me when you wanna do me.
You're the lady who
exit light, enter night, take my hand, off to never, never land.
The Humpty Dance is your chance to do the hump. Do me, baby.
Do the Humpty Hump. Do the Humpty Hump.
Do me, baby.
Do the Humpty Hump.
Come on and
do the Humpty Hump.
She's my cherry pie. Put a smile on your face, 10 miles wide. Looks so good, make a grown man cry. Sweet cherry pie, yeah, yeah.
Woo! Drum solo!
I miss you much.
Oh, I miss you much.
I really miss you much.
I-S-S you much.
I miss you much.
Oh, I miss you much.
I really miss you much.
Hey!
I don't want anybody else. When I think about you, I touch myself.
Oh,
I don't want anybody else. Oh, no, oh, no, oh, no, no, no. He's the one they call Dr. Feelgood.
He's the one that makes you feel alright. He's the one they call Dr. Feelgood.
He's gonna be your Frankenstein.
Let's kick it! If you get a problem,
yo,
I'll solve it. Check out the beat while the DJ revolves it.
Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice, baby.
Word to your mother.
Ice, ice, baby. Ice, ice, baby, forever.
Your eyes out. Weird Al Yankovic here on our special couple of weeks worth of Weird Al special here on Accordion Noir. And we're just going to go right into an interview. I talked to Al earlier this week. It was really fun. So we're going to just share in some of his accordion wisdom here on Accordion Noir, CFRO, Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM. And we do encourage people to go to the co-opradio.org website and toss us some donations to keep this kind of broadcasting on the air. I wanted to do the sort of guitar magazine thing where we ask you what kind of reeds you use on your accordions. If you happen to know, that would be funny, but yes.
I don't happen to know. I mean, for most of my acoustic accordions, you know, honestly, a lot of my accordions I've gotten off of Craigslist. I'll look at the paper and there'll be somebody like selling it for $300 and, you know, I'll go to their house and they'll have it in the garage and sometimes they're surprised when I show up to pick up the accordion. They'll think I should have charged more. But yeah, I don't know what kind of reeds they use. I do use the smaller accordions, which are sometimes the student models or the sexist term ladies models.
Yeah.
Because they're smaller. Because when I have them on stage, you know, I'm very active. I jump around a lot, and that's difficult to do with a full size accordion. They're heavy and bulky, and I just need to be able to move around with them. So I'm looking for more, because if the smaller accordions don't have as many buttons or as many keys, so I kind of have to like look in pawn shops and on Craigslist and try to find these old retro accordions that nobody wants anymore. I remember when I was a kid, I forget the brand name, but it was like Titano or something like that. There was like some huge accordion that, you know, this is, you know, years and years before there was MIDI accordions existed, but it was sort of like it was like the Rolls Royce of accordions. And, you know, if you sold your house, you could afford it. You know, it's like one of those kind of things. And I never got one of those. And, you know, I don't really have any need for one nowadays. But back when I was a kid, that was like, oh, if you got one of those.
Then you were famous.
Absolutely.
I've seen the pictures. You have one accordion. It looked like they had pictures of you as a kid, and then also pictures of you in the 80s and later with the same accordion. Do you know what brand that was?
I know it was Italian made, as many accordions were and are. I don't really know the brand name of the accordion, if there even was one. So I don't know. I had the same accordion as a kid that I had. Certainly early in my career, probably up through the early 80s, and then at some point the reed started to go, or it just got too beat up, and I had to, you know, find other models. But I still have that accordion. It's kind of a museum piece. I've got a vacation home in Hawaii, and that's where it is right now. Hopefully not getting too torn apart by the weather. Mm-hmm. But it still plays. It still works. It's just, you know, it's a little frail now, and I hate to abuse it too much more. So it's my piece for the Smithsonian.
Yeah, that's the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Right.
Yeah. That's interesting, the not knowing what brand it is. That's kind of the $5 guitar angle rather than the $7,000 guitar.
The MIDI accordion that I use is Roland, and but other than that, I mean, I think the acoustic accordions, gosh, I mean, they're all different. Again, Craigslist, so it's whatever is available. But I don't have any like real brand preference in terms of like old accordions.
Yeah, the Craigslist brand name.
Yeah,
that's funny. Definitely appreciate talking to Al. We got a little bit more of talking with him. I think we're just going to save that, our little snippet, until next week. And I talked with John Bermuda Schwartz as well, as drummer. We had a great conversation. So we'll be able to share both of those next week on November 10th when we are back on the air. Normally we are on the air playing accordion music every week on Wednesday nights from 10 to 11 p.m. and we've been doing that since 2006. So there's a whole bunch of our episodes up on accordionuprising.org now, and all our back episodes, you can keep yourself busy there. I wanted to say that we asked Al a minute ago what kind of accordion he played as a kid, and he didn't know, but I was able to take pictures and go on to the Accordionist Forum, and people ID'd it as a Universal brand accordion, but it was branded with the name of his accordion school. Because Universal was a company that basically imported Italian accordions and stuck whatever name you wanted on there. So accordion schools would stick their own name onto these accordions. And a bunch of his accordions from the early days, and even the one, there's one with kind of a delta pattern. They all have this delta patterns, but different versions. And the video he posted earlier today has a fancier version of that. So he's still playing these Universal accordions made back in the 60s. We're going to play a tune from his ridiculously self-indulgent, ill-advised tour that he did back in 2018. And this is an early tune he learned on that very accordion.
Well, thanks, you guys. Actually, I want to very sincerely thank you for coming to the show, because this is obviously not our normal tour, not the normal show. This is very experimental. We're just kind of doing this because it's fun for us. And thank you for coming out and supporting it. It really, really means a lot to us. And we called it the self-indulgent tour for a reason. This next thing is going to be extremely self-indulgent. Every night on this tour, we've been doing a different cover song for the encore. And tonight's song is very self-indulgent for me because when I was growing up, I was sort of obsessed with Elton John in my early teenage years. I figured if you're in your early teens, you need to be obsessed over somebody in pop culture, and I picked Elton John because I liked his music, and he was kind of dorky, and I thought, okay, here's a good role model. And I remember the very first album I ever bought was Goodbye Yellow Brick Road. And I basically memorized it. I've said this in interviews. I taught myself to play rock and roll on the accordion by learning that album. I wrote out all the chords, and I played along with it. And it kind of gave me my, you know, tutorial and rock accordion. And I went on to play it in college. I remember I played a Funeral for a Friend in the dorms in college, and annoyed everybody with it. And I think that's where people started first calling me Weird Al. So anyway, again, this is very self-indulgent. We're gonna play Funeral for a Friend, and I'm gonna play it exactly the way I played it when I was 13 years old. This is not exactly like the record, it's the way I played it, you know, when I was 13. The only difference is, instead of being alone in my room, I'm in front of the best band in the world, so this will be fun.
Thank you.
Weird Al doing a tune he learned as a kid on his universal accordion here on CFRO Co-op Radio 100.5 FM. Accordion Noir is the name of our show, and we're doing all Weird Al for the next couple of weeks. As part of the Co-op Radio Fun Drive, go to cooperadio.org and shoot us a donation to keep this kind of broadcasting on the air, and we'll not talk about that for a while. We're going to talk right now with Lily Hirsch, who wrote the book Weird Al Seriously, which is the first kind of academic-ish book that is really accessible and fun and also really, really smart. And it's about to come out with a new paperback, and that's going to be really, really cool. You should get it for all your friends.
It's coming out soon, and they wanted to really expand it, which I've never done an expanded edition, so that was a lot of fun. And they normally I write a book, and then as soon as it's published, I think of all the things I should have included, and it's very annoying, and I try to put them out of my mind. But this time they said, think of all those things. Let's add all of those things. I was like, but I already put them out of my mind. And I got to think more about what Weird Al meant during the pandemic. So I got to add in all of that, because that was a real lesson in the import of humor. You know, so many people looked to humor and music they love, music connected to their childhood, all of these things, for comfort and escape. So I got to add quite a bit about that. And it was really fun to get to do this expanded paperback edition. So it has all the same stuff. And then I got to add in whole new sections and a few new really terrible jokes, which I really enjoy doing. And I can't say Weird Al was the inspiration, because if he was the inspiration, maybe I would have written good jokes. But it was just but it was just fun to get to try to play in that space. I hadn't had a chance to do that before. That was something fun we played on in the title, Weird Al Seriously. It's almost funny. It almost seems like it doesn't match up. But it does. And it's true. It is really hard to write a good, funny music. It takes, and you, there are these studies about humor that it takes this really interesting fluid thinking to think of the world in a broad way and question it and flip conventional logic. Not everyone can do that. That's a certain type of intelligence. So yeah, it is hard to write funny music, and there is this import, but it's built into how we think, that somehow serious is something to be taken seriously, unlike humor. And I'm starting to judge people. I think being able to write a funny song and being able to look at funny music in a different way, this is all something that takes a certain amount of questioning. It takes someone that questions the world around them. And I love those people. I love these Weird Al fans I've come in contact with, because they're marching to their own drum. Often they're individuals and they're okay with that. And that's a hard thing to do. So I am actually starting to judge people accordingly when I meet someone. And if they say, you know, what are you working on or something like this? And I say, you know, Weird Al, if they go, oh, really? Or do something negative like that, I'm now wondering about what kind of person this is.
It's hard to beat, have a more fettuccine. Hey, you get it?
Oh, don't you get any Anya, you sloppy pig. Have a more ravioli. You will get roly-poly, a knife in the beak like your cousin Luigi. Luigi, Luigi, capiche Python, capiche Python, capiche Python. La lasagna, la lasagna, la lasagna, la lasagna.
Anybody who's being a paying attention to the sort of Weird Al zeitgeist that's been happening may have read things about how carefully he is writing the songs with notebooks where he, you know, replaces word by word many options to craft these songs and parodies and such, just to have them just the way he wants them to. And the idea for this show was actually that we would gather together all the intellectuals who are doing thinking and writing books and podcasts and kind of grab the media universe of Weird Al, and that would be funny to take them seriously. And the first one, of course, we talked with Lily Hirsch, and so we're going to hear some more about her and her book Weird Al Seriously, and really glad she could talk to us here on Accordion Noir, CFRO, Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM in Vancouver. And since it's our fun drive, I get to say you can go to the cooperadio.org website and contribute to keep us on the air.
It's interesting trying to get in all of that depth, but also in a way that's fun, where it's accessible and people actually want to read it. And that's not something I thought about early on when I first started writing. I wrote very academic books. And then kind of quickly realized, you know, there's only a few people that are actually reading these books. I think academics often think if you can really understand the writing, maybe it's not that good or maybe it's not that thoughtful. But I think that's some sort of gatekeeping. I think you can say whatever that complex idea is in a way that's a lot more digestible. So that was really fun to get to do with the Weird Al book. And then the jokes, I didn't know how much I enjoyed writing terrible jokes.
Yeah. What are your other books about?
My first book is about Jewish music during the Nazi era. So that was, of course, very serious. And I spent, you know, time living in Berlin and using the archives and interviewing survivors. And my second book was about music in crime prevention. And I dealt with music to repel teenage loiterers, music in torture, music in prisons, rap lyrics used as evidence against their authors in court. So that was also a very serious sort of book. And especially with that second book, I thought these are really important issues, and people aren't reading this because it's such an academic book. So I wish with that book I had written it in a more accessible way. I've got a new book happening it's tentatively called Funny Music Seriously, about funny music in general. And in this book, I'm trying to go even further, that not just is funny music thing important, but in some instances, maybe all instances, it really takes almost even more to make good, successful, funny music. But you have to really, really know music well to be able to flip it inside out and make it funny. There's a talent involved in really doing funny music. So that dismissal is not only, it's so wrong on so many levels. There's not a lot of resources too, like when you're talking about an education in funny music. That's why I kind of thought, ooh, this is a fun area for me. And it might seem totally different than what I was writing before, but people often think, what are you doing? You're writing about Weird Al, you know, where did this come from? But I think it all relates, because all of my books have dealt with categories, these kind of misconceptions around categories. The first one was this idea that there's a fix to Jewish music. And then the next one was dealing with this idea that there's a fix to music, and music is solely sublime and uplifting, and it can't possibly be used as torture or in crime prevention. And then here I'm dealing with these categories, this funny music versus serious music. And there's, I think because it's such a dismissed area, there isn't a lot of resources for education I think some of these funny musicians are maybe the best musicians. It's a very artificial divide. Like, I tried to bring that out in Weird Al seriously. These are really talented musicians involved. Weird Al with his accordion player, and then all the musicians he's got with him that have been with him since the beginning. So that dismissal is so frustrating.
Sexy and I know it. Girl, look at that body.
He's sexy and he knows it.
I wear your granddad's clothes. I look incredible. I'm in this big old coat from that thrift shop down the road.
Hey, he wears your granddad's clothes.
That's right.
He looks incredible.
I do.
He's in that big old coat.
It's from
that thrift shop down the road.
Let's go. $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up.
This is super awesome.
She's up all night till the sun. I'm up all night to get some. She's up all night for good fun. I'm up all night to get lucky.
We're up all night till the sun. We're up all night to get some. We're up all night for good fun. We're up all night to get lucky. 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 We're up all night to get lucky.
Yankovic here on Accordion Noir CFRO Co-op Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver, and really glad you could join us tonight. Talking right now with Lily Hirst, who wrote the book Weird Al Seriously, which is really good, and you should get it yourself. And she's got a website, lilyhirst.com, and also, you know, ask your local library to get books, because authors get support from doing that as well. So give it out for your friends for the upcoming holidays, all these things. We're going to be here with Weird Al and friends. We got an interview with Bermuda Schwartz, his drummer, next week. And who knows, maybe we'll do a couple more episodes because I got a lot of people I talk to in various podcasts and books and authors. And we're going to talk some more with Lily here on Accordion Noir. Definitely appreciate folks who go to the co-opradio.org website and throw down a donation to keep up this station. And it's a really important resource here in Vancouver. So our little accordion show gets to support the other more important social issues that folks are able to cover. But here we're able to cover the important social issue of the squeeze box and funny music.
You shouldn't put down your weird, I heard you say this, your weird accordion stuff. But, you know, accordion has this baggage. But I'm all about dispelling those sort of categories, you know, humorous music, any of this music that's dismissed. These hierarchies in music are, you know, constructed and then we fall for it. And that's all just BS.
Yeah.
Which brings me to a question I had for you. When I was reading about, you know, doing my research before starting to write, and reading about Weird Al, but also the history of the accordion, I can't remember the author, but someone wrote about what Weird Al has done to the reception of the accordion. And some people, you know, have written that he has saved the accordion, but others have not. Others see it a wholly different way, that he's added to the dismissal just because, you know, he's associated with funny music, you know, accordion becomes a novelty in association. I was also thinking about how, you know, Weird Al has this reputation of writing songs about food. And in the kind of hierarchy of music, if food is associated with your music, it's lower. You know, when you go to the symphony hall and you're listening to an orchestra, there's no eating. But if they're doing some sort of a pops concert, if they're doing like a movie music or video game music, then oftentimes they'll sell popcorn because it's kind of, you know, it's somehow seen as lesser in this like made up hierarchy. Earlier that you were allowed to chat while you were watching this music or listening to this music, it was all fine, eat. And then somehow in the Romantic era, music became lofty and sublime. And then now you got to pay attention. This is important stuff, unless it's got the accordion or video game music or something like this. But you're right. It's interesting because Weird Al, he was dismissed as so uncool. He plays the accordion. And then he hit a point where all of a sudden being a nerd was cool. And with that, I could see for some people the accordion being cool. I'm sure there's groups, and I guess I haven't explored that, but I'm sure they're out there that are playing Weird Al or the accordion in a kind of fun, nerd is cool kind of way. He also can pull out some real virtuosic playing on the accordion. That's impressive in and of itself. And maybe there's a comedy in just the surprise of that. And the polka medleys, I mean, they are funny. He's using the accordion, but the humor plays on a lot of levels that are very interesting. Just there's this juxtaposition, there's this incongruity in a lot of different ways between the tradition and the accordion and these different pop songs. But the playing is tight. The playing is impressive. I feel like there's a lot that's happening there that's quite impressive musically. And maybe dismissing him and the accordion playing, that's part of the same problem with dismissing humorous music. Early on, you're right, early on, he used the accordion more in the parodies. And then later on, for the parodies, it became more important that you start to listen to the song and actually think it's the original. And then that's part of the humor, that you have the surprise. So the accordion didn't work as well for that. But some of those early songs, those early parodies, choosing polka makes a lot of sense because it's the juxtaposition. He's heightening the incongruity when you've got these pop songs he's playing that are, you know, high on the charts, and then you've got polka music. What could be more diametrically opposed? So that play becomes very funny. But the musicality, I just think it's important to highlight the musicality, because I think the dismissal of what what Weird Al might be doing to the accordion and is related to the dismissal of him and the dismissal of humorous music. And I don't think the two are at odds, the accordion reception and Weird Al. It's part of the same problem. And you know, what's cool and what's not. These are, you know, what's highbrow, what's lowbrow. These are all things that I wish we could all leave in high school, or I wish they weren't even a part of high school. My little crusade these days is to get to the basis of all of this and these hierarchies in music. What's up with all this judgment? You know, this is a problem, and so many people involved in music do it. So much of what's been written about music and how we think about music is conditioned by someone way back when, or not even that long ago, assuming that there are these hierarchies and assuming that everyone should listen to them about these hierarchies. And I am not listening anymore.
Don't listen to the hierarchy. That's our message tonight from Lily Hirsch, author of Weird Al Seriously. The whole book, it's really good. It's serious, but it's also, it's funny and entertaining and really gets to the heart of Weird Al's phenomena and career. It's really great and worth checking out. Here on Accordion Noir, we're really happy to have had Lily talking with us at CFRO Co-op Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver is where we are, and you are joining us, and we're really grateful. And we're gonna to have some more polka.
The polka, with its simple, gay rhythm, is one of the most refreshing dances done today. Although there are numerous versions of the polka, the heel and toe and away we go is by far the most popular, as well as the easiest to execute. By following the directions in the manual and listening carefully to the record, you will find yourself dancing almost immediately.
Have a big dipper going up and down all around the bends. You could have a bumper car bumping. This amusement never ends. I wanna be
your sledgehammer.
Why don't you call my name? Oh, let me be your sledgehammer. This will be my testimony, yeah. Yeah.
Shout, let it all out. These are the things I can do without. Come on, I'm talking to you. Come on.
And it's a polka party here on Accordion Noir CFRO Co-op Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver. You can go to cooperadio.org, shoot us a donation, keep our little radio station on the air. We really appreciate it. Tell them Accordion Noir sent you. We're going to continue now with Lily Hirsch, author of Weird Al Seriously, Being All Serious, talking about Weird Al and how he is kind of perceived more and more. A lot of the stories talk about his sort of personality.
I admire that he is a nice person, and I was attracted to the topic in part because of that, not only trying to kind of rehabilitate funny music or break down these divisions between serious and funny music, but also at the time I was reading a lot about different musicians in the news that were doing terrible things, you know, with the Me Too exposure. And it was nice to actually get to focus on a musician who's male and nice. You know, scholars are supposed to be objective, but I'm going to admit in this expanded paperback edition and to you that I am a Weird Al fan. When I was writing the Weird Al book, I really enjoyed his play with gender. Any songs that kind of flipped conventions or expectations around gender, I liked. So for the accordion, I would say I love Rocky Road. We've got a fun play with gender. We have ice cream, which is delicious too. I had to have this spinal surgery at the end of the summer. It was a wild experience. And the first thing and only thing I could eat for a while was ice cream. So I have a brand new appreciation of how truly wonderful ice cream is. I already knew I loved Weird Al. The accordion, love it. I love Rocky Road. There you go.
I hear those ice cream bells and I start to drool. Keep a couple quarts in my locker at school. Yeah, but chocolate's getting old. Vanilla just leaves me cold. There's just one flavor good enough for me. Yeah, me. Don't give me no crummy teaspoon. I know what I need. Baby, I love Rocky Road. So won't you go and buy half a gallon, baby? I love Rocky Road. So have another triple scope with me. Ow! They tell me ice cream junkies are all the same. All the soda jerkers know my name. When their supply is gone, then I'll be moving on. But I'll be back on Monday afternoon, you'll see. Another truckload's coming in for me, all for me. I'm singing, I love Rocky Road. And throw away the key. Singing, I love Rocky Road. So won't you go and buy half a gallon, baby? I love Rocky Road. So have another triple scope with me. I love Rocky Road. So won't you go and buy half a gallon, baby? I love Rocky Road. So have another triple scope with me. I love Rocky Road. So won't you go and buy half a gallon, baby? I love Rocky Road. So have another triple scope.
I hate to tell you, but you're sounding an awful lot like a Weird Al fan.
I think I'm invested.
Sounds like you're also a fan of the fan community. I feel like
I've become
a fan of the fan community. The people involved that I've come in contact with have been so funny and smart and very generous. And I'm sure there are some mean-spirited fans out there. But
Weird Al fans.
It's a hard thing to picture. You know, there's exceptions to every rule. Somewhere there must be. I'm going to find
They're
that.
Like scalping tickets out in the... Yeah.
Wouldn't that be amazing? I almost would like to find the mean Weird Al fan, whoever that is, and write about them.
You take a poll at the audience. None of them would be mean enough to say, that guy, he's a jerk. He comes to every show and he's elbowing people in the pit. And
that's true. It'd be really hard to find the mean Weird Al fan. No one's going to rat him out. Well, maybe that's a goal for the future, and that would be amazing.
Lily Hirsch, author of the Weird Al Seriously book, available everywhere, and it should be available in your house when you get yourself a copy. And you're joining us here on Accordion Noir, CFRO Co-op Radio, 100.5 FM in Vancouver. We've talked about super fans, and we also spoke with Helen Ketchum, who was one of the super fans who was very helpful pulling this show together. And she was in the New York Times Magazine where all those people were dressed up like Weird Al. She was there too.
Hi, I'm Helen Ketchum, and one of my favorite Weird Al songs showcasing the accordion is Everything You Know Is Wrong from his Bad Hair Day album. It's Al's style homage to the band They Might Be Giants. I like it because the chorus has some really useful life advice.
Bob or Joe or Walter, could it be Bill or Jim or Ed or Bernie or Steve? I'm probably
Well, everything you know isn't wrong, because you're here listening to Accordion Noir CFRO Co-op Radio 100.5 FM in Vancouver. At least that's right, I hope. We're here every Wednesday night from 10 to 11 p.m., and we will be here next week with more Weird Al-ness. We're going to have a little bit more talking with Al, and we're going to be talking with John Bermuda Schwartz. I talked with him at length, and it was very, very fun. So that will be quite entertaining next week. We really appreciate our special guest, Lily Hirsch, from being here to talk about her Weird Al Seriously book, coming out with a paperback expanded edition very soon. And you can check out our podcast site for more information on all these topics. We always have links to all the artists we play at accordionuprising.org. I'm Accordion Bruce on Twitter, and thanks so much for joining us. Please head over to cooperadio.org, make a donation, tell them Accordion Noir sent you, and we'll just send you a big virtual squeeze.